She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Welcome to Empower Readings. I'm your host, Corby Mitlide. I've been doing what I cheerfully call the WikiWoo for 40 years as a certified professional tarot reader, certified psychic, and trained medium. Once a week, I get to play in the best sandbox in the world, radio, bringing you special guests to open your mind or doing those one-on-one shows, just you and me, where we explore your life through specialized readings and past lives. This week, I have managed to snag a fascinating woman, Reverend Iena Spirit Walker Robinson. She's been practicing in the healing and metaphysical arts for over a decade. She's a medicine woman, a Reiki master and teacher, channel and medium, interfaith minister, counselor, and a lot more. As a child, she spoke with animals and had a deep sense of knowing about many things, but she didn't learn to fully develop her gifts until she was in her late 20s and the mother of two young children. Spirits roamed her newly purchased house, causing illness in several of the house's residents. Disembodied footsteps and screaming children throwing tissues at an invisible target became a daily occurrence. And you wonder why I didn't have kids. It was clear that something was happening that she couldn't see. Eventually, the house was cleaned and health was restored. But as often happens with those of us called to do light work, that difficult situation and the resolution were the catalyst that propelled her into the work that she does today. Iena, I'm thrilled that we've got you, even if it's a week late because of thunderstorms. Thank you for being available.
Thank you, Corby. I'm excited to be here.
All right. Now, shaman is one of those words that people think of, you know, bad movies. They think of Dan Millman and the spiritual warrior. They think of all kinds of things. Do me a favor. Define what a shaman is so we're all talking about the same place.
Okay, fair enough. Well, a shaman, quite simply, is someone who walks in between this world of the physical and the world of spirit, simply for the healing of others as well as themselves.
So a shaman isn't necessarily a certain cultural path. You hear shaman and people will either think Native American or they'll think African or they'll think Guatemalan, things like that. But you're saying shaman is not directed the way you might hear archbishop and you might think of Episcopal or Catholic. A shaman is contained within its own world. Is that right?
I think that might be an accurate description. Really, there's so many different indigenous cultures that do have shaman. So we have the Native Americans, we have Buddhists, Celtic shaman, Mongolian shamans. So it's really across the board, and it's been around for centuries.
So what got you into it, besides the throwing tissues at the people that weren't there?
Well, I did study with an amazing woman called Lino Ella Lunas for many years, and she held something called a 4-day shamanic retreat. And I thought, sure, it sounds like, you know, great fun. And once I got into that medicine wheel and heard those drums, my heart just exploded with love, and I felt like I was home. And that really was the beginning of my shamanic journey.
And you were, what, I won't ask for the precise age, but what was the first number when you started doing the shamanic work? 2, 3, 4?
When I first started doing shamanic work, I was about 30.
Okay.
Roughly 30. Mm-hmm.
So what about the 29 and a half years before? What was the experience that you had with the not this planet or not this universe that let you know, you know, I could probably do that stuff if I could figure out how?
It's interesting. I didn't really make the connection until I was older, but I did speak, like you said before, I did speak with animals on a daily basis and collected them like little buddies, constantly bringing them into the house, nursing them to health, We've had all kinds of everything from a field mouse to owls in this house because I could simply hear that they needed help and wrangled them into my home. But honestly, until the spirits were in my home when I was 29, I really hadn't even considered it. Nothing that I could see beyond physical eyes really even came into my consciousness.
Talk a little bit about what happened in this new house. Now, it was a newly purchased house, but how old was the house?
Oh, goodness. I think the house was only 5 years old, but from what I understand, it's not even really relevant to the house. It's relevant to the land and whatever has happened and occurred on the land. There were just so many weird occurrences. And, you know, for example, my children were taking a nap and I would hear little footsteps and I would jump up to catch them and they would be, sound asleep in their beds. And I was thinking they were faking and they were really fast. And really it was the spirits. They were wandering around. And I found out through some help, I had to find help when I finally realized that this is not something that I can handle. Clearly there was, what they call a porthole. It's sort of like an open gateway in my home. And
kind of like a leak between universes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So they sort of had to be wrangled back into their home and the door needed to be sealed. And, I was reading like a crazy person trying to figure out what was going on in the meantime before we did find help. My health was failing. There was some very negative spirits coming through. So it was quite trial by fire seems to be my best lessons in this life. I respond very well to those.
So knowing what you ran into, not really having the background until you started doing the shamanic work, is that the kind of person who comes to you? Why would somebody come to a shaman rather than me? This is important because I want to be able to direct people to the right people. Anybody who's ever worked with me knows. My belief is there are X billion people in the world, and I sure as hell am not going to be able to read all of them. So if I can find another appropriate intuitive, I am more than happy to send people your way. So who would come to you with their mishigas? You know mishigas?
I gotcha. Okay. I think it's a personal choice. There are some people who are simply very curious about it. Some people really want to be healed with drums and rattles, which are specifically used mostly by shamans, not every single one. And I really believe that the reason there are so many different modalities is because there are so many different people, and we just all have different things that we resonate with.
Mm-hmm. If you were going to illustrate for me an archetypal client for you, would they be there for a healing? Would they be there to talk to dead people? Would they be there because they had zebras that were invisible running through their bathrooms? I mean, what would it be?
All of the above.
Really? You exercised zebras? How cool.
I have exercised, well, not zebras, but some critters, yes. And certainly I have cleared houses, cleared land, definitely healings, shamanic healings and channelings, speaking with loved ones, mediumship. And I do a little bit of psychic work, but most of that does come through the healing itself. Messages do come through.
Okay. When you do channeling work, do you channel their guides? Do you have a particular guide that you channel? Or is it just rifling through the Akashic and saying, I think you need to read this book?
Right. It's really on a case by case basis. It really depends on what the person specifically is looking for. If they're looking for something specifically in their lives, for example, you know, why is my career going down the toilet? I would channel their spirit guides or any guide of the light that feels like they need to bring through a message for them. And, you know, of course, there's always people who want to talk to Uncle Bob who just crossed over, and we can always do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's very interesting that you say Uncle Bob, who has just crossed over. When I talk to dead people for people, I tend to give them at least 3 months up there to sign the guest register, unpack their bag, and take the orientation tour. Mm-hmm. Do you have any particular rules and regs about that?
Rules and regulations. You know, I try to connect, and it doesn't always work. Sometimes I can get a weak connection. Sometimes it's super strong. And sometimes, as I say, they're just not answering the phone.
Yeah, that's what I call we're not dial-a-dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And we're not dial-a-dead. I actually got from one of my teachers, Reverend Jane, out in Erie, PA. And boy, was she right.
Right.
Now, you say that you learn from another shaman, Lena. When it comes to the package of work that you do, how much of it was just native talent, no pun intended, and how much of it was learning?
You know, it's quite a mishmash. And if I had to say natural or native talent, I would say it's probably about 75%. I really did experience a lot as a child, but I didn't really understand it. For example, I would see, you know, my animal posters that were on the wall would like leap off the page, and I would speak with them, and I didn't really understand what that was. And of course, speaking to animals. And once I really honed and learned specific ways to open myself up and focus, or it's kind of like dialing a radio dial, then things really opened up for me, and it was really, it was more of a remembering than a learning, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got two kids.
I do. Yes, I have a 13-year-old boy and 11, almost 12-year-old girl.
Okay. How do they handle Mama's wiki-woo?
Oh, it's just plain old mom. I've been doing this since they were very young. I used to teach intuitive development classes for children as well. My specific purpose for that initially was so that they would have other children that could sort of do the things. My children, since they were open and I was sort of cultivating my own stuff, I was cultivating it in them as well. And so they've sort of grown up with it, and it really is just like pish-posh to them. It's so not fascinating to them.
Do they want to do any of this stuff? Do they see the purpose of it?
They do see the purpose of it, and they've begun to come to expos with me and are really seeing the impact that the work is having on people. For example, people having relief or crying just in gratefulness or whatever it is. And I think they're really starting to put those things together.
Mm-hmm.
So they do recognize that. My son sees spirits 24/7. Which is not even something that I experience. I have talked, you know, he knows the different techniques to do what he's got to do. But, you know, certainly having a mother who's open to that stuff and not shutting him off from it is, I'm sure, pretty comforting.
So have you taught them how to ground, center, and shield and basically keep people from tromping around in their heads?
Absolutely. It's very important when you do any kind of energy work to have proper protection and do things in the proper way. And, you know, there are techniques and, you know, just like a Ouija board, for example, you can't just pick up and, you know, ring the bell and call whoever wants to come out. It's very dangerous to do it that way. You have to do it in a specific way.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The saying that I have about Ouija boards is playing with one when you don't know how to protect yourself is like opening your door in a strange neighborhood and yelling free beer. They heard you when they're coming, but you don't know who to hell is that.
Exactly. And, you know, getting rid of them can really be a challenge. So it's really not something you want to open yourself up to. If you really want to get messages from spirits, please learn from, you know, a true teacher and learn how to do it in the proper way and protect yourself and your loved ones, because that's really not a road you want to go down.
Do you have particular books that you recommend for people who want to learn this and perhaps don't have, you know, a local shaman or a local spiritual teacher?
I actually don't.
Okay.
A book that I use often, and this is, I don't know, maybe a little off the subject, but I love Animal Speak by Ted Andrews, specifically because in the Native American traditions, which is something I'm specifically trained in, every single being that comes into your life has a message or medicine for you. So I am constantly looking to see what kind of animal is crossing my path, what message do they have for me, and it's always so spot on. And even my children, you know, throughout the day will say, I saw a fox in the backyard, let's look that up. So, yeah.
So what do you make then of why so many people seem to need cat energy around them? It's surpassed dogs. And it isn't just, well, yeah, you can leave the cat at home for a weekend. There is something about cats that are speaking to us all on a very deep level now. So what are cats?
Really interesting. Cats are about magic and mystery. They're sort of linked to the Celtic traditions. And it's my understanding they're one of the few beings that can sort of walk in and out of an energy circle and not disrupt it.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that very interesting. They're very protective, and they also will put themselves in harm's way to absorb negativity to protect their humans.
That is true. I have heard that some people who come down with a serious illness, they get better, but then their cats get something very much like it, and the cats might transition from it as if they were the sponge.
Exactly. That's what happened when I lived in my haunted house. My cat was staying in one spot in my home and getting thinner and thinner, refused to eat, refused to do anything, and was wasting away to nothing. And as soon as that porthole was recognized and closed, she got up and walked away and started eating again. And that's what it was. She was protecting her family.
How amazing.
My hero.
I know that with my two Maine Coons, one of them, they're both very affectionate, but one insists every night on coming up, walking up on top of me, and then flopping like a blanket. I'm sure I've settled down. Now, if that isn't tucking into bed, I don't know what is. Exactly. And I've never had a cat do that. Mm-hmm. So to me, again, that's the protective instinct.
Absolutely.
So, all right, before we go to break in a few minutes, I want the story. Now, let me explain the story. These are always the fun ones. The ones that when you tell it to people, they look at you like you have got to be making this up. Please tell me nobody on earth would do this. So the one that I love is someone who did not really understand about mediumship and talking to dead people.
Sure.
And she obviously saw Beetlejuice too often.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. A wonderful movie in 1988 with Michael Keaton and Alec Baldwin and mm-hmm. Davis. And they said, do people sit around in your house waiting to talk to you?
Oh, gosh.
Do they have to take numbers? Does your husband know that you talk to these people? Does he think you're cheating on him with them? And I'm looking at this woman and saying, what bus did you get off? And it isn't it's not on my, you know, I very gently, you know, gave her the 1 + 1 = 2 on mediumship.
Exactly.
There must be a story like that with you, that it was just, lady, let's go back to tab A and to slot B.
I gotcha. I have a few of those, but my favorite saying really is, please don't ask me a question unless you want the answer, because I am so excited and passionate about this work that I am going to share it if you ask. And there was one day specifically that I came home from a class and I sat down to dinner with my parents and I was just brimming. It was such a cool class. And my mother says, so how did your class go? And I went on to talk about how this woman had an entity on her back, and then she went into this full-on trance and had stigmata, and my girlfriend got up and was doing like an exorcism in Latin, and I could tell, like, 2 sentences into it, they were so freaked out their eyes were glazing over. And but I was so excited, I told the whole story, and they all, their mouths were wide open when I was done, and I was like, well, that was my day.
And did they ever ask you again?
No.
that tends to happen.
It does.
Yeah, and I know that when there's a family gathering, I will listen to my brother talk about his wife's job and his job and my niece and my nephew. And right. They just look at me and say, and how's your work? And I'm just fine.
Right.
You know, how can I explain to you? Yes, I channeled somebody's dead uncle last week, and my father came in with the medical intuitive stuff and got the T-waves right.
Exactly.
You know, for one, my brother would be jealous. I get to talk to dad after he's been dead 10 years and he doesn't. And, you know, who am I to do medical work because I didn't go to Hopkins like the rest of the family? But it's the way it is. And, you know, my audience knows, I will always say, you and I, we love what we do, but we are not special.
Right.
Anybody can do what we do, but the requirements are wanting to do it, putting your ego aside, being willing to constantly learn and better yourself, and realizing that the work you do translates also into the rest of your life.
Yeah.
One of my very, very favorite book series is a young adult series called Young Wizards by Diane Wayne. And the wizards in there are not Harry Potter stuff. There's a good mix of science. There's a huge mix of cultural diversity. And there is always the idea that a wizard can never lie, that a wizard is always aware of how he will affect the world, even with the small everything days, things that they do in a day. And I think that as a shaman and with me as an intuitive counselor, we have to think that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. It permeates through your soul. It's not really something, it's not like a hat you can take off.
Mm-mm.
It's everything you do.
All right. Now, we're just going to be coming to break in a couple of minutes. For everybody out there who's listening, if you would like to call in with questions for either Aina or me, then the number is 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. We're talking with Reverend Aina Robinson, Spirit Walker Robinson, which is a name we'll ask her about on the flip side. And tonight it's pretty much open questions. So if you have something you want to discuss with us, or if you'd like to ask Reverend Aina a question about shamanism on any level, that's what we're here for. The number is 248-809-3475. Very quickly, Aina, if someone wants to get in touch with you after the show, where are they going to find you?
My website is workofspirit.net, and I believe it's on your website as well.
Okay, great. Do you work over the phone? Is it only in person?
It is in person. It is a Skype. It's phone, however you'd like to do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Terrific. Is there a particular area that you're concentrating on right now, the way I will have just spades and spades of mediumship or spades and spades of past lives?
Interesting. Nothing particular that I'm concentrating on right now. I don't know if maybe I'm not understanding the question, but there are often different things that come through in clusters as I do the counseling and the healings. And right now, a lot of people are feeling very lost and their lives are sort of getting torn apart, like pulling the rug out from under them. That seems to be what's really happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that that's the way the universe is speeding up, or it's just that the world is getting crazier?
You know, I think it's the divine's way of really forcing us to focus on what's really important, because when you are brought to your knees, you know, you have to surrender to learn anything. And a lot of people are having a lot of stuff taken out of their lives that they really thought was important, and it's really not.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I say, don't look to us to fix it for you. We're not the repairman. We'll hand you tools.
Exactly.
But you got to be the one who wants to use the tools.
Yes.
So we've been talking with Reverend Aina Spirit Walker Robinson, and we're going to be back on the flip side. We'll take your questions at 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. If you have questions for Aina or questions for me, that is what this radio show is all about. So we will expect your calls.
Lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. so you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and Lost Cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the Lost Cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a Lost Cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
There might be danger.
It's always wildfire season somewhere in America. Nearly 9 out of 10 wildfires nationwide are caused by the carelessness of humans and could be prevented. But together, we can make a difference.
Come on! You can do it!
Help protect our forest friends.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
To find out more, log on to SmokeyBear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, the National...
This is to my best friend. You know who you are and you know where you are at. My friend, it seems like it was just yesterday when we learned to ride our bikes together, to speak our native language. We did everything together, going to school, getting our first jobs. Then came the time when you said you had a mental health problem. Well, like yesterday, I am here for you, and together we will recover.
They'd be there for you. Shouldn't you be there for them? To learn more about mental health problems, go to whatadifference.samhsa.gov/native. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A local health worker in Nicaragua saves one child from measles. Then she helps save 3 children from malaria. And 10 children from diarrhea. And 20 children from pneumonia. When you help one, you help save so many. Visit goodgoes.org to find all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide on Empower Radio. Your calls are next at 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Now, back to Corby Mitlide on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to Empower Readings. I'm your host, Corby Mitlide. And we have with us Shaman Aina Robinson tonight. If you'd like to call, it's the second half of the show, and we're always glad to hear from you. The number is 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. Aina, I want to ask you, if someone wants to start, I don't know about start doing the shaman work, but start walking the path. How do they do it? Is there a particular exercise that they can start? Do they need to meet their animal totem before they meet their channeling guide? Give us a little information about first steps.
I think the first steps are really important to learn about your own energy field and heal yourself. We all have so many traumas from this life and others that really need to open up and heal. It's sort of like peeling back the layers of the onion, and you really need to sort of get yourself clear and on your way before you can even get started with moving forward and learning everything. It's really important, I think, to learn about your chakras and your different energy fields and how to self-diagnose or help each other. You know, you can work with a partner. And then another wonderful tool is, as you said, working with totems, which are animal spirit guides. And really wonderful, wonderful helpers on the other side.
Okay. Want to try something. Everybody who is listening to this either live or you've done it as a podcast, get comfortable. As I say, get your wiggles out and get yourself very calm, very centered. Aina, lead us through a quick scenario where someone will be able to start connecting, walk through the door. Certainly this is not going to be a 2-hour shamanic journey, but certainly, just to give a feel of what it is like when you leave a little bit of this world behind.
Okay, well, we can do an exercise about meeting your totem, which is an animal spirit guide on the other side. How's that sound?
Perfect.
Okay. So what you need to do is first close your eyes and really focus on your heart. Feel the light generating in your heart. and recognizing that you are divine. You are not separated from the other living beings on this planet. And you are indeed related to everything else on this earth. Take a few deep breaths, breathing in light and healing energy, and exhaling gray matter, which is all that does not serve you. Inhaling white healing light and exhaling gray matter. And I want you to allow yourself to travel to a special place, recognizing that you're going to meet your animal totem today, your main spirit totem today. Find yourself standing in a place that is so special, you cannot believe your eyes. You're going to be standing in the center of a place where there is a cleared field. You can see the ocean and the sand. You can also see a forest. Breathe in deeply. Recognize the blue sky above you. Hear the grass and the elements singing to you and whispering those special songs. And at this time, from whatever direction is appropriate, ask your main totem, your main spirit guide, to come forward. Recognize as many elements of this totem as you can. Shape, size. Ask it its name. Listen for the response. Do you hear anything? Do you smell anything? Involve all your senses in this experience to its fullest. Stretch your hands out in a cup, facing your totem, and ask your totem to please give you a gift that is needed for you specifically at this time. See and sense that gift in your cupped hands. Smile and recognize it is only for you. And now place that gift in your heart. Take a deep breath and feel that gift permeate through every cell of your body. Thank your totem for the gift and know that you are now connected. Anytime you want to connect with your totem, you just come to this special place, ask for messages, and he will be there for you. Now take another deep breath. Say goodbye to your totem and allow yourself to fly back into the space where your physical body is currently. Wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes, open your eyes, take a few deep breaths and maybe write down about your experience. You've met your totem.
Well, I certainly didn't meet my usual crew. Usually
that's
for me,
super
of course,
cool.
It's Raven. But what came was an eagle. But do you know how, if you will, an immature snowy owl is white, but it has the brown speckles on it?
Uh-huh.
It was very much like that. The gift was an egg.
Wow.
That hatched with one of those really wacky doodle looking fuzzy baby eaglets. And I didn't have time to do the heart thing because you know how what I call the geek pocket in shirts where it's the breast pocket where you stick your pocket protector and your pens.
Uh-huh.
The little thing just clambered in there and is sitting looking around the way a baby kangaroo does. So apparently I'm supposed to raise this little schnutz.
I love it.
If you want to translate, boy, would I be grateful.
Eagle is a great messenger. Eagle has very keen senses. And anytime you have a totem or any kind of animal message, you're going to take from what their physical attributes are. So eagle has very keen eyesight, which allow you to set your sights on exactly what you want, and very accurate talons. So, for example, they can see a field mouse in the brush from way up high, and they can swoop down and very quickly grab up that field mouse and swoop away. So eagle often represents getting what you seek and accurately, you know, going after it. And the baby for me felt like a new journey for you, nurturing something new and special. But, you know, it, really with journeys and meditation, it's always really what it means to you, because we're all going to have different reference points from our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's great to pick people's brains about some of the messages that you receive, but ultimately it's how you felt. Often there's certain emotions that come up that you can translate.
Yeah, well, I know that when the eaglet, the egg wasn't in my hands more than 5 seconds when this little sucker popped out.
Right.
And so he's very much, we've all seen those babies, those happy babies in their little baby carts, and they're smiling at everybody and they're looking around and everybody wants to come and ookie on the kid. Well, that's this thing. Mm-hmm. It's just sitting in the geek pocket going, oh, isn't this cool? Where are we going? Do you have anything for me to eat? Can you throw up for me? Thank you very much. It's one of those.
Yes.
So, you know, if this is a journey, it's going to be a very noisy one and very busy.
Mm-hmm. And you threw that out there in the beginning of the program. You said you guys wonder why I never had kids.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes that stuff comes back.
Yes, it does. Now, what about animal fears? Yeah, maybe there's a past life thing, but if we're looking at totems, for instance, my husband is freaked around spiders. I am such a herpophobe, you can't show me a picture of a snake. So what do you do with those?
Oh, you know, that's a really, well, if we're going like shamanic psychology here, I mean, so spider, for example, is a representative of creativity and weaving your own magic. Is your husband, does he not really into being creative or speaking his own voice?
Oh, no, he's very good at that. What he says drives him crazy are the mandibles.
Yeah.
He doesn't see bug parts.
I probably with something like that, I would do maybe a shamanic journey. Mm-hmm. And try to figure that out. See what's going on with that specific fear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, same thing for the snake?
Yeah, same thing for the snake. Because snake is very very root chakra, very, very power oriented. And that's certainly something that you possessed. You know, I don't think that's anything you're shying away from either. So, I don't know where to go with that, to be honest with you. We would have to explore that in more detail.
Yeah, someday I would like to do that.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So I know that you do some psychic fairs the way I do. Mm-hmm. Can you do this work in a psychic fair area? Because people ask me, how can you read? It's a 10 by 10 booth. There are people running around and making noise, and there are singing bowls, and there's all kinds of stuff. For me, it's the one-pointed focus. But when you're doing a shamanic journey, when you're doing healing work like that, can you do it in a psychic fair venue?
It can be done. It just takes a lot of, you know, we were talking earlier about putting up those boundaries, clearing your space. I'm very specific about working with beings of the light and very specific about where my boundaries are and where no darkness is going to enter. I'm fairly new to the expo circuit. And the past few that I've done, I was quite surprised at the amount of suffering that came through the door. And so that takes extra work to keep that out, because not only am I responsible for keeping myself protected, I'm responsible for keeping whomever is on my table safe, because they are open and they are trusting me and allowing me to journey with them. And it's very important to keep up those boundaries.
Mm-hmm. When you say there's a lot of suffering coming through the door, if someone has never been to a psychic expo, they might not know what you're seeing. Can you paint them a picture?
Well, in my experience, and for me, I'm empathic also, so I feel a lot of emotions that people have. But my experience really was that, you know, there's a lot of people who have recently lost loved ones, or a lot of people who are really, like I said, going through very, very difficult times in their lives. And you sort of wear that like an energetic Darth Vader cloak around you. And that definitely comes through, you know, and any kind of energy that you have, the more of it there is, the more multiplied it gets, if that makes any sense. So you've got all these light workers in the expos who are raising the energy. And then you've got also all these people who are suffering who are drawn to it, like a moth to flame, which totally makes sense. But, you know, like I said, I was new to the experience, and that was one thing that I hadn't anticipated. You know, I was thinking I'm just going to go to this place where everybody was like selling crystals and, you know, dancing around and everybody's doing healings. And it was quite impressive and also exciting to me that, you know, the work that I was doing was being received and really welcomed. And I got so many wonderful emails and responses and people who, just in gratitude. It was really fabulous.
What do you do with a client that is not yours? Let me explain what I mean by that. People sometimes come to me and they want a certain kind of reading that I know I don't do. So I'll direct them to, you know, Binky the Magnificent, who does, you know, tablecloth readings, or just the energy don't jibe. The story that I often tell is the woman who came to me in Canada once and said, "Can you tell me where my husband is sleeping with his mistress?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't do remote spying." She goes, "Oh, well, is he sick? Is he going to die sometime soon?" Now, obviously, I gave her money back and said, "I'm sorry, I don't read that way."
Right.
Have you ever run into something where you absolutely were not that person's healer or reader?
Yes. It happens. And more so in the expos, because again, people are walking through, you know, if someone calls me specifically, obviously they're drawn to me for a reason. But I did have, it's ironically very similar. A woman came to me at an expo with her husband's hat, and she wanted the specific name of the woman that his husband, you know, her husband was sleeping with. And I said the same thing. "I'm sorry, I don't do that. That's not what my gifts are for." And she says, "So you can't do it." I said, "I didn't say that. I just said that's not how I work." And she was very agitated with me. And I said, "You know, look around. Maybe there's someone else that can help you. I'm sure you'll find someone, but it's not me." And, you know, I do tell people I'm not a very good salesman as far as myself. You know, if someone comes to me and says, "Well, why should I choose you?" You know, I'll briefly give them a rundown. But, you know, ultimately, if they're not drawn to me, I tell them, you know, go check out some other people. You never know. Maybe you'll come back. Maybe you won't. You'll find somebody who you resonate with. And I think that's what this work is really all about. It's not about, you know, I'm not selling Tupperware, you know. This is a very intimate thing that's being done. And it has to feel right for every specific person. And I do set up boundaries, and there are things that I will not do.
Do you ever see someone that you just feel, "I've got to work with that person"? Some people do and some people don't. The deal that I have with my guides is until I am approached and asked, no. Otherwise, that's very much what I call the drive-by psychic shooting.
exactly.
But are there people where you look and upstairs is saying, "You have to work with this person, go and, you know, make the introduction"?
You know, I have to say I have not had that experience, and that's also because I have the same understanding and the same feeling. I do not, again, I don't sell myself. I feel like if somebody's coming to me, that's very special. I would have to, if that came down to it, I would maybe approach someone, but generally I feel like it's, very invasive to come up to somebody and just, you know, I met a woman once who really had no training, and she was very psychic, but she would just cold read people and hold onto their arm as they're trying to walk away. I'm like, "What are you doing? That is horrible. Why would you do that? The person is just, it's a waitress in the diner. She's not asking you for a reading. She asked if you wanted coffee." Mm-hmm. So, you know, yes. I don't do that. I have the same philosophy.
Yeah, part of the reason, if people out there are wondering, well, why don't you if you get these things, is that's what makes people afraid of psychics. Oh, my God, am I walking by her table and she's reading my head?
Right.
There are certain privacy levels. There are certain moral and ethical responsibilities that we have to those people out there who perhaps aren't as psychically open as we are. Won't say they're not psychic, but they just don't choose to exercise those particular muscles.
Right. And I think it's good to note that just because someone's psychic does not mean they're a good person. And it's good to use discretion when you meet someone and really discern whether or not they are for you. You know, if you meet a psychic that's going to tell you what kind of underwear you have on, you need to, you know, leave.
Yeah. Yeah, that's way too invasive.
Yeah,
all right. Now, let's say if I was just a tarot reader, I might aspire to becoming a certified professional tarot reader and then a certified tarot consultant and then a certified tarot master through the tarot certification board. All right. That's one path. So where are you going from here? You've been doing it for 10 years, so you've got your feet under you.
Sure.
But what are the next mountains that you want to climb?
Wow, that's a really awesome question. Well, I already consider myself a spiritual mutt, and that is to say that I sort of have a phrase that I like to live by is in reference to religions and just spiritual beliefs in general is take what resonates with you and leave the rest behind. So there are a lot of different philosophical views that from different things that I really resonate with. What is my next? You know, I just really want to continue to grow my practice and use my gifts in a way that is best for humanity, honestly, wherever that takes me.
Where would you like it to take you if you were allowed to dream? Remember, the universe is a short order cook with no imagination. You have to place the order.
Well, I am a single mom and I would absolutely, you know, I've got like four jobs right now in addition to doing this. And I would absolutely love to support my children doing the work that I absolutely love to do, which is shamanic work, energy work, healing work, and live in a tropical place like Florida and, you know, just be my own boss. That would be fabulous.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, being your own boss is one of the greatest gifts. It's one of the reasons that I started doing this full-time 10 years ago because, you know, Wiki Woo work like we do, it's one of the very few things that the older a woman gets, the better it is because she looks like she knows stuff. You know, it's not like your makeup in Macy's and at age 35, they're looking for the new young chickie. So
wisdom. It's those gray hairs.
Good stuff. Wanted to ask you about your tools. You use rattle, you use drum. Do you pick them or do they pick you?
Well, you know, I think on some level they pick me. I really do believe. I have a drum that I've had almost my entire career and it is really, I feel like it's quite a part of me. And I have two rattles, one that I made and one that was a gift from my teacher. And they really speak to me. And I know that sounds totally bizarre. I use crystals too, not in shamanic work. But, you know, I really, when I open myself up, ask spirit, what is needed? What is needed? What does this person need? It could be anything, you know, they may not need anything, but typically a shaman will do what we call is ride the drum waves in. So you're drumming or rattling and the sound resonates within your being and just brings you to a higher state. And often people who are receiving the healings experience that as well.
As far as the crystals go, are there particular ones that help you get up, get up? I know the patterns here are very, very powerful when you're channeling and getting upstairs information.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up quite a bit there, Corby.
Okay. What I was asking was, do you have particular crystals that help you get up and out to get the messages? I know that when I'm doing heavy duty channeling work, a couple of Apache tears are wonderful battery packs.
You know, generally I don't use crystals for that reason. My favorite tool is really my drum.
Do you, when someone chooses a drum, when someone decides, I want to learn drumming,
right?
Size matter or type of drum matter, or do you prefer the ones that are more like a boron or the ones that are like djembes, or does it not matter?
You know, I think it's really what you're drawn to. If you live in a really humid climate, anything with an animal hide is not going to work, because it's just going to sound like, you know, it's just going to be totally muddled. The leather just does not withstand humidity. You're going to need an artificial drum, or we call those the vegan drums, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, there are so many. I've taught classes, and I go to, you know, I would go to Walmart and just get the little drums and rattles that come in the kids' toy section. And, you know, it really is with whatever intention you've got in mind. And really, this work is all about intention. It's not about buying like a $200 drum and having something really fancy on it. It's about using a tool that you're drawn to and having an intention for a higher purpose to heal someone who is not yourself or yourself, and raising that vibration. That is the difference. And that's really... that's what you should have in mind when you're choosing a tool. How is this going to help someone else?
All right. We're just about at the end of the show. Once more, give people where they can find you, please.
My website is workofspirit.net.
Okay. And do you have any last advice for someone who either wants to examine the shamanic road or work with a shaman?
Well, excuse me. The key with shamanism really is being connected with the earth. That is like shamanism 101. And so many of us are so disconnected from the planet right now. And people really are suffering from illnesses, mental and physical, for that reason. So I would suggest getting out in nature, really just being grateful. If you walk outside and stand under a tree, think in your mind, in your heart, thank you, or beautiful, one word over and over again. Watch an ant, just watch its trail, and just feel the vibration of that being and know that you are connected. And the more time that you can spend outside in nature, the more open you will become. You know, people in our day and age say, well, I've only got like 10 minutes to drink my coffee and I run out the door and my life is so crazy. Take that 10 minutes and sit outside with your coffee. Put your feet in the grass. Watch the trees dance in the wind. Take time, even if it's just moments, outside, and really appreciate what nature is and your connection with it. And I promise you, things will open up for you.
Thank you, Aina. This has been wonderful. If you out there have missed a part of the show or you want to catch up on past programs, just visit the show page at empowerradio.com or go to iTunes and type in Corby Mitlide or Empower Readings. You'll find podcasts of every show we've done and the opportunity to subscribe so you don't miss any in the future. And if you want to know more about me, how I read, where my travels take me, or how we can work together, there are lots of ways to make it happen. Go to firethroughspirit.com, friend me on Facebook as Corby Mitlide or Fire Through Spirit, or call and schedule time with me at 877-321-CORBY. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks again to our wonderful guest, Shaman Aina. If you go about your life this week, don't forget to live it the way we all do here at the Raven's Nest, crossing the bridge every day from fear to fearlessness and flying. I'm Corby Mitlide. See you next week here on Empower Radio.